The Green Zone, Jamie Locker. Jamie, off for the week. Takes the bye weeks off for the Riders, so I am flying solo. Won't be the first time this summer you'll hear me by myself playing that song, because we've lost Michael Madsen, most famous for his role in Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs. He did a couple of Quentin Tarantino movies. He did hundreds of roles. He's very famous in Hollywood. Kind of known as a... From all accounts, he lived a pretty hard life. He just lost his life at 67 years of age. That was the song. I don't know if you remember that movie. He was Mr. Blonde in Reservoir Dogs. But that was the song that was playing, and he was sort of dancing when he was removing the ear from the police officer. Probably one of the more horrific scenes in a movie, if we're being honest. So... rest in peace, Michael Madsen. We'll get things going. The starting lineup.
Let's go!
And now, the starting lineup.
Thursday Nighter, week 5, CFL. We have got the Bombers and the Stampeders. We're trying something new in the CFL. It is the Stampede Bowl. Now, I had to look this up because I wasn't exactly sure what it was. It's going to be sort of like a Labor Day Classic, that type of thing. It'll be an annual game. It is the first game in the CFL before the Calgary Stampede. They've made up a trophy. So the whole point of the Stampede Bowl is to connect the Calgary Stampede, the CFL, and they'll do it on an annual basis. The Stampede gets going as of tomorrow. So it'll probably be the Thursday before the Friday start of the Calgary Stampede, which is a two-week event. The rest of your Week 5 CFL schedule, obviously we got the Bombers in Calgary taking on the Stampeders. Your Friday night matchup will be Hamilton at Toronto. Saturday night, BC and Montreal. And then Sunday night, looks like it might be a bit of a dud just based on the performance of the two teams that will be taking part, Ottawa and Edmonton. The Riders are back at it. The first of three bye weeks is this week, but they'll be back in action in week 6, and they'll be hosting the Calgary Stampeders. All right, and we'll move over to baseball. The Jays, they look to sweep tonight.
For the Yankees, and now Addison Barger, straight. And Schneider hits one high and deep to left. And that is going to go.
That was the first inning last night. They scored 7 runs. It's the first time this season that the Jays have managed to get 7 runs in an inning. A big night again for Springer. Springer has been on an absolute tear as of late. We found out yesterday that Vladdy is going to be going to the All-Star game. That is his 5th straight trip to the All-Stars. I was kind of hoping for Kirk. I'm a huge fan of Captain Kirk, the back catcher who's been on fire on the as far as the bats go for the Jays as well. But he doesn't look to be on the team right now, on the All-Star team, but could end up on a reserve situation. They go for the sweep tonight. So they're in the middle of a 4-game series against the Yankees, and they've won all 3 of them. The Jays have just been on fire lately. Right now, after last night's win, they are tied with the Yankees for top spot in the AL East. If they get the win tonight, the Jays will surpass the Yankees and lead the American League East. That's huge news. A couple of trades. We're still sort of having things trickle in after the NHL free agency frenzy on Tuesday. The latest is Brent Burns.
Lady back to Burns, scores! Brent Burns with a rocket of a shot.
Now Burns with it. He's got a lucky shot. No score! Now Burns with it. He shot, he'll score! Brent Burns, no hesitation!
He's one of the last guys left from that 2003 draft. 40 years of age. He has spent the last three seasons. I'm trying to remember how many years he was in San Jose. I think it was 10 plus seasons in San Jose. The last three seasons, he was in Carolina with the Hurricanes. So they let him go. The Avalanche have picked him up for a 1 year deal. A lot of these older players now, Corey Perry included, when he went from the Oilers to the Kings, they're signing these base salary contracts, but with a lot of incentives. They're sort of padding them with bonus structures. In Brent Burns' career, he has 261 goals, 649 assists. He is 1,497 deep into his NHL career, so he is definitely had a good run here. Burns has appeared in every possible NHL regular season game. I'm thinking this is why he wants to keep going here for the last 11 years. And he is the current holder of the fourth longest Ironman streak of all time in the NHL, sitting at 925 consecutive games. And even if you're not a Carolina Hurricanes fan or a San Jose Sharks fan or now a Colorado Avalanche fan, I don't know. I find it hard not to cheer for Brent Burns. The beard is legendary as well. The NHL will continue. Ehlers is going to Carolina.
Armstrong with a save. Backhander. Score! Nikolaj Ehlers with his 200th NHL goal. A breakaway for Nikolaj Ehlers. Takes a look. Here he is. Nikolaj Ehlers. Score! And here comes Nikolaj Ehlers, 2-on-1, shoot, scores!
He'll be missed in Winnipeg. That's a big hole to fill. The last big name to drop in the free agency here with the NHL as well. There was a note yesterday from all the insiders saying that they were waiting on news from Ehlers and that we were probably going to hear something at the end of the day. There was speculation that Ehlers and his agent were pretty particular about where he wanted to go based on how he was going to be used and where he was going to be in the lineup. So obviously, with that in consideration, it looks like he's settling with the Rod Brind'Amour system. And I just, my sense of him and his game and the way he plays and the way Rod has his players playing, I think he's a good fit for one of those two top lines in Carolina with the Hurricanes. So that's a huge pickup. All right. I want to get into a discussion today, but I want to preface it before we get into it. And I want you to weigh in. I want your thoughts on this, okay? We'll open up the phone lines, the Green Zone fan line, as always open for calls, for text, 877-332-8255. Now, you might think I have my head up my you-know-what with this comment. And I want you to know something before I make the statement. I love tackle football. Huge fan of both leagues. I think the NFL does what they do great. I love the CFL game. I love going to games live. I've had season's tickets in the markets that I've lived for the CFL franchises that are in that city. I've been to games. I love tackle football. But I think Flag might eventually, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I think Flag may start to catch up to tackle football. All right? We'll get your thoughts on that. And again, send me a text. Fire me a note now if you have an opinion on this. All right? Again, the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker on Locker. Jamie is off for the bye week. He'll be back next week. Thanks for putting up with me on these solo shows. If you ever want to reach the program, the Green Zone fan line, and the number is 877-332-8255. Listen, love phone calls. Love taking your calls. So if you'd rather phone than text, don't be shy. I haven't been in Regina long, and I realize that this is a bigger thing in Regina than most places in the country. In Saskatchewan in particular, it's growing like crazy. From what I've been told, just doing a little bit of research on it, in Regina, it's bigger than it is in Saskatoon. But Saskatoon has been quickly catching up. And that a lot of the smaller communities in and around Saskatchewan have started to pick up flag football as well. I mentioned this to Scotty, the producer, last night on our Green Zone text chain. I sent him a note. I said, do you think flag football will ever catch up to tackle? And he said, you're insane. You've completely lost your mind. How many beers have you had? And I was like, no, I don't. So here's a little reference point. I have a dog, and I walk around my neighborhood. And the one thing that I love about my neighborhood is there's lots of parks. And every, like, a couple of weeks ago when the snow finally melted, I started to see kids out playing flag, like on every field in my neighborhood. And I remember saying to my wife, I said, this is not this big in other parts of the country. And I've moved around in my radio career, and I don't remember flag ever being a thing. And so I've done a little bit of research, and it's huge. There's 3,720 players in the Regina Youth Flag Football League for spring 2025. That is twice the number of kids participating in tackle. That's twice. Now, listen, I know this is very regional, and I understand that maybe it's bigger in Saskatchewan than it is in other parts of the country. But I can see this sport, just based on the level of participation in a hockey-crazy province like Saskatchewan, from the youth perspective, I can see this growing to a point. And let me clarify, I don't think anything's taking down the NFL. It's too big. I mean, this is a $1 billion enterprise. And I don't see a day where we're spending the kind of money that we would to watch flag football. I can't see myself Saturday night going to a stadium, buying a beer, and sitting down and watching people play flag football. But I'm thinking that popularity-wise, as leagues grow, it's not just youth leagues, it's adult leagues, it's women's leagues. As this grows, the popularity will catch up to tackle on some level. It might take 20, 25 years, but I can see that being a thing. If you have an opinion on this, again, Green Zone fan line, fire me a text, fire me a call, 877-332-8255. Again, do you think popularity-wise, flag football will ever catch up to tackle? There's something about the violence of tackle football that takes us to the stadium to buy beers. But I do see a day, and with the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles, and the fact that they're going to allow professional tackle players from the CFL and the NFL to join teams in the United States and Canada and around the world to compete in the Olympics. I find it interesting that tackle's never been part of the Olympics, but all of a sudden we got flag football part of the Olympics. That's an interesting sort of angle on this as well. Did get a text from Sean from Pilot Butte. Here's a tidbit for you. The Pilot Butte Dogs youth flag football team are regional champs and going to the Nationals in Toronto. So yes, I see flag catching up big time to tackle. When you consider how popular it is with the youth, and the Saskatoon minor football, flag football, is growing leaps and bounds as well. They had, they got a men's league in Regina, an adult men's flag football league that's growing. There's 8 divisions of 8 teams for the men's league. Max of 15 players on a team. So it's growing. Can you see it? Do you agree with me, or have I lost my mind? Maybe you have a thought on this. Again, we'll get you to call the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. You can also text the program. All right, the Toronto Blue Jays have a chance to take over top spot in the American League East with a sweep over the New York Yankees tonight. Where did this team come from? That's next on the Green Zone with Keegan Mathieson. Keegan reports on the Blue Jays for the major leagues. Hang on for that. 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am Lachlan Cross, a.k.a. Locker, flying solo this week. If you're ever trying to reach the program, maybe you want to weigh in on the discussion we are having about flag football popularity catching up to tackle at some point. The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. The Toronto Blue Jays are a wagon out of the blue. This is a team. They're going for a sweep tonight against the Yankees. They're in the middle of a four-game series, and they've won the last three, won four in a row. Keegan Mathieson, Blue Jays reporter for Major League Baseball, great follow on Twitter, Keegan Mathieson, joining us now here on the Green Zone. Did anyone predict this start from this team?
If anybody says they did, I'd like to see the proof. I did not myself. And it's been amazing to watch. They have overachieved in ways they have not in recent years. You see that with players like George Springer. He's a great example. I did not see this coming for George Springer, and I certainly did not expect it to be this good. But they've had so many pleasant surprises. That's what you need. And, man, I was wrong about this team. I thought they'd be about a 500 team.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple games in either direction, but they've been incredible.
I think we did talk to you actually before the start of the season, and I remember you saying that, you know, they had some deficiencies on the in the bullpen and that they were going to struggle this year. Let's boil it down. Why are the Jays doing what they're doing right now? Is there something that you can put your finger on?
I think a lot of it is chasing some more offense. It's more philosophical because last year and in prior years, the Blue Jays have tried to be the best defensive team in baseball and make a lot of contact, hit a lot of singles. This year, they're trading a little bit of defense. They're still elite defensively. They're still a top three, top five team defensively. But they're trading a bit of that to chase offense, especially at the bottom of their lineup with platoons, with matchups. They're getting more aggressive. They're swinging a little bigger. And I like that. That was the difference between this year and last year. And you see it energizing this roster. Again, Springer's a great example of that. He is chasing higher outcomes. He's taking more risks. And there's payoff to that. There will be some ugly days in between. But you're seeing them chase more power. You're seeing them chase upside. And that's been so important. That starts with the coaching staff, David Popkins, the new hitting coach, and their hitting staff. But it's working. And you see the players who have bought in, and they're excited about it. You see them playing a more energetic brand of baseball, a more entertaining brand of baseball, which matters. It really does.
Let's stick with the coaching side of things. I was going to get to John at sort of the back end of this, but you referenced the coaching staff. So let's wade in. Now, Schneider has taken his fair share of heat from fans over the years. This team is clicking right now. Should he be taking some credit for where they're at, especially from a chemistry perspective?
He should. Absolutely. I think John Schneider is doing a very good job right now. And I know that praising the manager is never the most popular thing in the world. I don't care. I think he's doing a really good job with this team. And that goes for the whole staff because you need players to buy in. The moment that a player or a roster only kind of trusts the manager or kind of trusts a hitting coach, it all falls apart. Because they have teammates in their ear, they have a high school coach, a college coach, they have their dad in their ear, it can fall apart pretty quickly. And right now, what I see is John Schneider being comfortable in his job, too. And we don't talk enough about how managers and coaches can develop over the years. We kind of make up our minds about who a guy is, and that's it for good. But I see John Schneider being more himself and taking some more chances himself. And he's really letting it fly with this roster this year. I think he's taking more chances as well. They're not all going to work out. Sometimes you pitch to Aaron Judge and he launches a rocket, but he is, I think, much more comfortable in this job, much more comfortable talking to us every day when I bug him with 1,000 questions twice a day. But it's you see it from the top down. It really does start at the top.
Keegan Matheson joining us, covers the Toronto Blue Jays for Major League Baseball. Last night's win, Keegan, the Jays are now tied with the Yankees at the top of the AL East. They've won their last four. They go for the sweep tonight at home. Is it too early to get excited about this team? Listen, I'm excited, but should there still be a little bit of trepidation with respect to the fans and their approach for the rest of the season?
No, it's been too long. I think people should be excited about this team. And if you are a Yankees fan and you're used to this happening every single year and you want to turn your nose up at it, nah, whatever. But the Blue Jays have not had that annual run towards the division. Even since 2015 and 16, which was the last time baseball was really exciting in this city and in this country, there's been a lot of wild card sneaking in. Second wild card, third wild card. That's great. But it's nothing near as exciting as a division race, especially one against the Yankees, because they are the evil empire, big bad Yankees. And chasing them in the division, it's a completely different feel. And not only is this baseball team good, they're watchable. They're entertaining. And this is an entertainment business. It's something that I try to remember, that 95% of people watching the game every night do not care about the exit velocity or how much Kevin Gausman's splitter moved in the zone. They want to be entertained. They want to see a few home runs and their team win. And they're seeing that lately. And it's at a time, too, where across Canada, the Maple Leafs, the NHL, that's not happening right now. The NBA is quiet. CFL is on. You have some WNBA action that you're up against in the U.S. But across the board, it's a pretty quiet spot on the sports calendar. And everybody's looking at the Blue Jays. The last few summers, they've sort of kind of grabbed onto people, but you haven't really seen it get back to that 2015 and 2016 level. Yeah. I think they have a chance at that, where they really grab the whole market.
If the Jays, Keegan, are not a playoff team right now, what do they need to do to sort of get into that mindset? What kind of tweaks would you like to see them make here?
It's interesting because when you look at the roster, there's not a black hole anywhere. It's not like you're looking at, oh, there's no second baseman. There's no left fielder. They have so much depth right now. So any addition would have to really raise the ceiling. You're not trying to patch a hole anywhere. I think you're trying to raise the ceiling of this roster. That's when this gets fun. So if you're looking at the rotation, is a number five starter going to help you? I don't really think so. No. You can always find another Eric Lauer, another patchwork starter. But is there a number one or a number two out there where you can get really aggressive? Adding another veteran utility infielder isn't going to make a difference. But is there a big right-handed bat out there maybe that can add to this lineup? And it's the year to do it, man. Look at the American League right now. It is wide open. The Yankees are right there. The AL is right there. I know the teams have to measure themselves up against teams like the Dodgers, but that's for October. You worry about that later. Right now, the AL is wide open, and I think this is a time for the Blue Jays to be aggressive in what could be Bo Bichette last year, Chris Bassitt, Max Scherzer. There's a lot of guys coming off the books, so this is the time to really push in.
We're not far away from the All-Star game, Keegan, in Atlanta in July. Vladdy's on his way. This is his fifth straight year, right, to the All-Star game, I believe?
It's number five for him, yeah, at this point. Time flies.
Yeah, Alejandro Kirk, my favorite Jay. He didn't make the cut. He might end up on the reserve. Is there anybody else, maybe it's Springer, that you would put on that that All-Star roster this year as somebody who reports on the Toronto Blue Jays?
Man, Springer deserves that consideration.
Yeah.
He has impressed me this year. And to see someone who, at that age, listen, George Springer's made his money. He's fine in life. He has won his World Series ring. He's won the World Series MVP. He has made everything you need to make in Major League Baseball. But he came back, and he's trying things differently. He's motivated. He's leading this team. And it's incredibly valuable to watch that. someone like Addison Barger will get a little bit of consideration there. I don't know if he has the league-wide name appeal yet. Mm-hmm. By this time next year, I think everybody is going to know Addison Barger for what Blue Jays fans see right now. I expect Kirk will be an all-star, and he really, really should be. Super impressive year from him. But George Springer is one that I did not think I'd be saying at this point in July. But he deserves, and maybe even if you can get close and somebody drops out, you can be a reserve. They still call you an all-star. It doesn't matter if you're first in voting or if you sneak in the door. So that would be a pretty big accomplishment for him.
Keegan Matheson, you have a book out now, my friend. If I'm not mistaken, it's available, right?
It is available now. Talk about good timing, I guess. My goodness.
So tell us about this book that you just released.
It's called The Franchise Toronto Blue Jays. It came out about a month ago now, so you can still find it online at Amazon, Indigo. We're trying to get some stock back in store, which is, I guess, good news. The stock is out of store right now, but it's a look at the full history of this franchise. And I was able to be a little picky in it, which I enjoyed, but to tell some profiles, some of the big years, stories that you know, but also some stuff that I've been around for, from Shohei Ohtani, the COVID years, my experiences with some of these players now. So it's been a good month, and the Blue Jays are helping out the marketing campaign here, I guess.
Beautiful. Well, good luck with the book, and I have a feeling that we'll be chatting with you again probably sooner than later with this team rolling.
Hey, I think so. I'll be looking forward to it.
Keegan Matheson, again, covers the Toronto Blue Jays for Major League Baseball. He's been doing it for quite some time. And the book, if you're interested in, he was just mentioning that, the franchise Toronto Blue Jays. And he is a fantastic writer. Might be a gift idea for someone in your family that is a huge baseball fan. The Toronto Blue Jays, the fourth of a four-game series against the Yankees tonight, 5 o'clock start. Can they get the sweep against the New York Yankees? My goodness. And if they do, they will surpass them for top spot in the AL East. Looking forward to that matchup. Is that a foreshadowing for the game of the night? Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. This day in sports history, up next on the Green Zone, the NHL star that wore the C the longest for one team retired on this day back in 2006. That's next. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
It's up.
And after 22 years, Raymond Moss!
Promise me I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I know that. You remember? I
gotta get back.
On this day in sports history, July 3rd, 2006, he retired.
Here's a pass picked off, brought in.
He was 19 when they gave him the C in Detroit. He played with the Red Wings his entire career, obviously, and had a run of 19 years with the C on his chest. That is a record. Sidney Crosby is close, though, because he's been the captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins for 18 years. When Yzerman retired, he had 692 goals and 1,755 points, an all-star by any calculation. Steve Yzerman has now worked his way into as a general manager. He started with Tampa Bay back in 2010, and 2018 he left. He joined the Detroit Red Wings. Everyone talks about the famous Yzerman plan, 2019 to present. The interesting thing about Yzerman is he is wildly competitive. The Red Wings have missed the playoffs for 9 straight years. I was surprised by that. I was like, the Red Wings haven't been in the playoffs for quite some time. This was the first year as well that all 6 original teams didn't make the playoffs since 1967. Anyway, it's been a long time. Yzerman has been with the Red Wings now for 6 years. His press conferences, I don't know if you've paid much attention. If you're a Red Wings fan, you probably do more so than others. But whenever he does press, he is, what's the word for it? Crotchety, to say the least. Agitated, irritated from Scotty, the producer. Yes, he is. He is a miserable interview. He is not a happy man when he is up there. And he lets everybody know about it as well. I have a feeling this is, I'm not willing to put this one on the board, but I will predict that if Yzerman doesn't get that team, the Red Wings, back into the playoffs this year, I think that's it. I think he'll be looking for a new gig. I think he's hung on for as long as he has because of his connection to the team, obviously, but I can't see them continuing on this path if Yzerman can't make this work for them and get him into the playoffs. We've got a conversation going right now, and I've had some texts on this. We'll take your calls as well. The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. At some point, and I'm not suggesting that it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm saying that it's going to take years, like 15, 20, 25 years, that popularity of flag football might start to catch up to tackle football. If you have an opinion on that, like I said, Green Zone fan line. I got this text from John in Saskatoon. My 10-year-old granddaughter played flag football this year. Absolutely loved it. Couldn't believe the amount of teams playing at the Gordie Howe Bowl. It was huge. Again, John from Saskatoon. That was my point when we moved here. It was like, what is going on? This whole city is out on Saturdays playing flag. I don't know a lot of the rules, but I sat and watched a couple of games out walking the dog, and it's a fast-paced, like, very sort of, I know that there's a half rule. You got to get to the half, and then you have so many downs before you get to. It's an interesting game to watch. I still love tackle. It's going to be hard-pressed to replace the violence of tackle football, but it is getting there. This came in from another John. I'm not sure how big commercially successful flag football will ever be, but as a 50-year-old, would you play tackle football? Probably not. As a 20-year-old something, and you have to go to work on Monday, would you play tackle football? No. 30 years ago, John adding this, would you have seen how popular soccer would be in North America? That was kind of a point that was also brought up earlier. I don't think I ever predicted soccer to be as big as it is in Canada and in North America, and it is absolutely huge. Our football insider standing by. We will chat with Dave Naylor next, and I want more from him on the negotiation list. All 9 CFL teams released their negotiation lists yesterday. I want to know why. Again, our Green Zone football analyst, Dave Naylor, up next with his thoughts on that. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.